Blog Talk Radio.
You can never tell what's in a man's mind, and if he's from Harlem, there's no use of even trying. Just like the tide, his mind comes and goes, like much weather when he'll change. Nobody knows, nobody knows. The man I love, well, he just turned me down. He's a Harlem Brown. Oftentimes I wish that I were in this ground, 6 feet underground. He idolized me as no other could, no, no. Then he surprised me, leaving me a note saying he's gone for good. And since my sweetie left me hollow, well, it ain't the same old beauty shop, whole road system too, that made those girls angels without any doubt. There are some spots up in Harlem where I'm told it's sudden death. So let somebody see you, even stop to get your breath. If you
Hello? Hello?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me on this special edition of April Deep Aries. I am proud to welcome Cindy Williams Plummer, actress, singer, who has played in some of my personal favorite films. You heard Cindy singing Harlem Blues from the movie Mo' Better Blues. The song went number one on the R&B charts in 1990. And let me tell you a little bit about Cindy Williams Plummer. Cindy began acting and singing after relocating to the Big Apple, New York, from her native Chicago. Her debut film, Mo' Better Blues, was directed by Spike Lee and was a critical and commercial success. That film opened up the door to her next performance in Carl Franklin's One False Move, a true icebreaker for Cindy's career. This breakout independent film appeared on many best films lists, and Cindy was nominated for the coveted Spirit Award. Also, in Oprah Winfrey's ABC miniseries, The Wedding, and also The Courage to Love, Lifetime's The Courage to Love, and BET's Hidden Blessings. Cindy Williams, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Just excited. I'm sorry about the little pause there we had after the song. It's such a blessing to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure everyone listening, as well as myself, would like to know, how did it all start? What made you move to, as Alicia Keys calls it, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of, New York?
Well, I always dreamed of going to New York. I just had a feeling it would be a place that I would love. And earlier in my life, I thought that I was going to do musical theater because that was my background. I was a theater major and did music in school, and I had every intention of going and doing musical theater on Broadway. And I love movies, but I was kind of movie illiterate. I was too busy acting myself on the stage and doing school and singing around, so I wasn't really considering the movie route, although people told me before that I should, because of my acting technique. I tend to be a lot more about internal work and what's happening in the face and in subtle things in the body. So when it came time to make a decision where to go, I knew I had to go to New York, thinking Broadway. But when I got there, I did one off Broadway show, which was a lot of fun right away. But Mo' Better Blues was auditioning very soon after I moved there. And so many people told me, you really ought to audition for this movie. I decided to go in and do it, and the rest is history.
Wow. That sounds like a very talented history. Cindy, we already have a caller from the 810 area code, and I'm going to take this call.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to April Deep Aries Presents with my special guest, actress Cindy Williams. Hello?
Hi, April. Hello?
Hi. How you doing? Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Toy, honey. I was just calling in to listen to the show.
Toy, oh, I'm so glad you called in. You have any questions for Cindy?
I have one question for Ms. Cinda. I am a fan of your work. I've watched you in Mo Better Blues and Spirit Lost. I even seen you in the movie that you did with Halle Berry, Dorothy Dandridge, served by Dorothy Dandridge.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, what do you have going on now?
Well, right now, to be honest with you, when I decided to become a mother, which a lot of actresses don't decide to do, I decided that that was my priority. When she reached a certain age and she couldn't go with me on movie shoots and all this kind of stuff, I decided to slow down and be very, very picky about what I was going to do. So I still work. I still do movies. I'm very picky about what I do. I'm doing a lot of stage work so I can be more local in the Chicago area. And I'm also writing, getting ready to finally produce a web series that I've been working on quite some time. I'm very excited about, called Pink Panty Confessions. And I am working on, I have a company with my partner, Thea Camara. We're acting up with Cinda, or Thea and Cinda. It's acting workshops. And I'm also doing some work in Chicago. I'm going to work with the CPS and doing workshops, helping kids prepare for the world, how to communicate. And you can use acting in so many different ways in different walks in life, not just to be an actor. And then also I have another film that I've been a part of in development for a very long time called The Deaf Kid, that I am in and we are raising money for, and we're going to shoot that in June. So I am very, very busy. And, of course, motherhood keeps me the busiest.
Thank you so much, Joy. Thank you so much. That was a great question. We're going to get to what Ms. Williams is working on now. Hello?
Yes, yes.
I'm here.
All right, then.
I'm here.
All right, you have a great Friday, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for inviting me, and much love and blessings on you and your future endeavors, Ms. Williams.
Thank you so much, and the same to you.
Thank you. All right. Now, I know everybody wants to know, Cinda, how was it like working on Mo Better Blues, working with an all-star cast, and especially Denzel Washington?
For me, that it was more about an education than anything.
Right.
Like I said, I'd been doing stage work in musical theater for most of my life, and I knew very little about films. And I knew absolutely nothing about acting in a film. So I watched every aspect of the production. I paid close attention to how the technical side of things, the cinematography, the lighting, the sound. I paid very close attention to different acting techniques with all the different phenomenal actors that were involved, especially Denzel, Wesley, and Robin Harris, and Giancarlo Esposito, Bill Nunn, and the list goes on and on. And then I got to work with some wonderful musicians, with Marcellus, it's amazing how many people I got to work with, and Odetta, and, you know, it was such a grand experience for a first-time movie, you know. So many young actors, they have to come up through doing extra work or doing, small roles, you know, one-liners here. But I came in with a lead role for my very, very first film in my life. So I needed to absorb it all and take it all in. Now, I've been acting for years, so it wasn't like I was new to that. But the process of making a film was brand new, so I just, you know, took it all in and tried to learn from everyone. It wasn't about friendships so much for me or about, that kind of thing. It was more about work. And, you know, and I got to know some of the guys a little bit, but they hung out together. And so Joao and I were the girls, you know. But, you know, she had her thing going, and I was just pretty much on my own watching out and trying to learn.
You sound a lot like me, only I hope to be like you one day. I always thought her name was Joey Lee. I didn't know it was pronounced like that, Spike Lee's sister.
Well, you know, her family called her Joey. She changed the pronunciation to Joie when she started working. Yeah, it looks like Joey on paper, but it's pronounced the French pronunciation Joie.
Okay, and we have another caller. Let's take this caller. Being a little slow. Hello, welcome to April DeBerry's Presents with my special guest, actress, singer, Cinda Williams. Who am I speaking to today? Hello? Call on the air. Okay, we must have lost our caller from the 215 area code. Okay, I like how you mentioned a lot about learning all the aspects of the business and, you know, going in there and landing the role like that. Wow. How was it? Well, I know it led to one of my favorite movies of all time, One False Move. I can watch that movie over and over again. I have it on tape. I have it on CD. I had to order it because it was out of print, but you were in there with Billy Bob Thornton and the other black actor. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Michael Beach.
Michael Beach, right, mm-hmm. Right. That you were so natural at that movie. How was that like?
That film was first of all, it was one of the best scripts I'd ever read. Mm-hmm. It was so full and layered, and these wonderful, wonderful characters, not very nice people, but realistic people. Mm-hmm. So it started with the script for me, and it was wonderful. And the director, Carl Franklin, phenomenal. The producers were great. All of the actors. It was a list, in my opinion, group of people when it comes to the talent. And yeah. It was a difficult film to shoot because a lot of it was on location, and it was cold outside, and, you know, in Arkansas and stuff like that, you know. And it wasn't a huge budget film, so the conditions weren't always perfect, but it was perfect for shooting the film and making it feel real. Sometimes you're better off when the circumstances aren't, you know, so pretty on the outside, so your inside work is believable. And it was a very intense 10 weeks, very mm-hmm. intense time. And again, I learned a lot, and I will never forget the experience, and I'm happy for it.
Wow. And, you know, you mentioned two places that kind of connect to us as kindred spirits. Chicago was where I've been trying to get all month, and it mm-hmm. didn't happen. And my best friend lives in Arkansas. That was another place. So mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting you to say Arkansas with that.
Yeah,
movie.
That's where we shot One False Move. It was supposed to be in Arkansas, and we ended up shooting in Cotton Plant, Arkansas. And it's beautiful, beautiful country. I really enjoy being there. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. We have a call. Okay, our caller is back. Well, we have another caller from the 248 area code. Let's get this call. Thank you for calling April Deep Aries Presents. You're on the air with actress, singer, Cinda Williams. Who am I speaking to today? Okay. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about the technical part of that. So I also read that, I also want to touch on with the other young lady, Toy, who called in.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about Spirit Lost. Now, that's a movie that Leon was in there. Now,
yes.
I love scary movies. I love scary movies. And that was a black cast scary movie. So I need understanding. What was your, you were kind of like haunting the family or something?
Well, the house that they moved into, I haunted. And they just happened
Ooh.
To be the family that moved into it. I was in life had been an ex-slave that had been a white man had fallen in love with, and he was a seafaring man, and he brought her to his home, which was that home, and he ended up leaving her there, and he never came back, and she committed suicide. And so anytime anyone moved in there, the man, she would almost look at him as if he were the man that left her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that was about.
You know, I saw that movie, and I'm currently trying to get that movie because I remember the effect that it had on Leon. You know,
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm trying to get that movie. And you also worked with Halle Berry twice, and The Wedding and introducing Dorothy Dandridge. I love The Wedding. You got to tell me where that was because that was just too beautiful. I put that in to go to sleep a lot of times.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Martha's Vineyard, but where we actually shot it was in North Carolina. And it was so beautiful there. Lovely people, beautiful
mm-hmm.
place. It was a great time doing that project with again a great group of actors, and
mm-hmm.
Halle and I really connected well and
mm-hmm.
felt like sisters. And it was a lot of fun. And doing a classic film or a classic book, The Wedding, that
mm-hmm.
you know dealt with a subject matter that was extremely controversial in a black community, you know,
mm-hmm.
the light skin versus dark skin and all that kind of stuff,
right.
Our Dirty Laundry, and that story dealt with that and how a fair skinned black person dealing with interracial relationships, et cetera, having the grandmother, the white grandmother, despise the darker child and like the lighter child, and all those things that have happened in our families and in our history, and probably, unfortunately, mm-hmm. still do happen in some places. So it was something I could connect to. I am mulatto. My mother is white, and my father is black. So I certainly connected to the story, and so is Hallie's. Even though our parents were supposed to both be black, it was still dealing with that color, the skin color issue.
Yeah, unfortunately, some people, still, you know, put a big emphasis on that today. But I remember the scene where it was your daughter, and the grandmother says, "Well, I think she's got darker hair, has gotten kinkier, not as curly as it
mm-hmm.
used to." I remember that scene in the movie. But you seem to have such a rich, and I love that about you, it's like a rich culture, like you're connected to, like, you know, the Harlem, classic Harlem Renaissance. I think you mentioned that in the song, Harlem Blues, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's basically what the song was about. It was written by W.C. Handy in the 20s, and the lyrics are the same. Raymond Jones redid the song and put a new melody and made it more current.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even traditional jazz. To me, that song
kind of poetic.
Yeah, and it was considered a jazz song because of the instrumentation, but it was a very different type of song, and I I loved it, and I think it represented that whole feeling of Harlem very well in the film.
And I can tell you're connected to, you know, you're connected to that, you know, the whole classic jazz, you know, and even like your role in Mo' Betta Blues. It just seems like you're connected to the whole arts energy, you know.
Well, you know, I am, although I must be honest, the jazz was not a music that I listened to growing up. I was in the church, very deeply in the church, and so gospel was the style of music I knew most. And then a lot of original music that I did with my uncle and, like I said, musical theater. It wasn't until I got Mo' Betta Blues that I even started truly listening to jazz and learning about it. Spike Lee was frustrated with me because he's like, I can't believe you're so ignorant. And I was like, you know, I am ignorant when it comes to this because it's not been in my life. It doesn't make me ignorant as a human being. It means I had a different lifestyle than you, you know. And so I dove into learning about the style and found that my voice actually fits that style quite well. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't what I wanted to sing, you know, and that's part of the reason why I didn't really pursue a music career, because when Mo' Betta Blues came out, everybody wanted jazz from me, and that's not who I was as an artist myself, Cinda. That was Clark. That wasn't Cinda. And so everybody wanted Clark, and I'm not Clark. So I decided I could just sing on my own, sing in bands and do that kind of stuff, and sing in films. But at that point, at least, not really pursue the music. I stuck with the acting.
And most people don't learn jazz, you know, unless it's on their own, unless they're, you know, from way back, like, you know, grandparents' age.
Right, or, you know, their family listened to it. My grandparents, you know, were a pastor and his wife, and I've heard that they loved jazz music, but they never played it when we were around. So it wasn't something I was brought up with.
Yeah.
You know.
I also saw that you appeared in, it was on stage, Langston Is My Man, Twilight in Los Angeles.
It was an original play from a gentleman in Richmond, Virginia. And it was a really, really wonderful musical review that this guy had come up with. He had poetry, spoken word, and music, and it was a really fun experience working with a Richmond, Virginia company, an African American company, and I had a lot of fun there.
You said poetry. You mentioned poetry. Now, is that something that you also did, you know, before the acting?
Well, I am a writer also, although I haven't shared too much of that with the public, but I write a lot of poetry and lyrics for songs, and along with my screenplays and plays, I'm a writer also, and I read poetry, of course, coming up. And words are meaningful to me. They tell stories. But storytelling is my number one love. I love to tell stories through song and through, you know, any kind of medium of writing. I love to tell a story. So my poetry is more along those lines and more prose as opposed to poetry. And it's not a lot of rhyming unless it's in a song.
Okay. Wow, and acting is something that, I write poetry and I'm a writer, but acting is something that just really brings me out of what I would like to do more of. And I see that you are working with Thea, is it Kamara? Kamara?
Mm-hmm.
Acting
Kamaria.
Kamaria, acting up with Thea and Cinda. Wow, I wish I was in Chicago right now to teaching acting.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited and for our workshops. And eventually, you know, once we get going and really hit this part of the, you know, Chicago area and the surrounding areas, then we might eventually take our workshops on the road and go out and do like a weekend here, weekend there, different locations.
Wow.
But we're just building it up right now. We're in the early stages, and we actually start teaching in September, so I'm very excited
wow.
about that. But it's kind of difficult for me because I also continued work. I'm doing. I'm going back to one of my old homes. Chicago's where I'm from, but I went mm-hmm. to high school and college in Ball State University, and the mm-hmm. civic, the local community theater there, the Civic Theater, is where I really, really learned and worked, and I did for four years straight. I just was constantly in a show on that stage, and they've asked me to come back and be a you know, a guest in Dreamgirls. They're doing Dreamgirls.
Oh wow!
So
wow.
I'm going to be going to Indiana to Muncie, Indiana, at the Civic Theater to do Dreamgirls there this fall. It'll be showing in October. And so I'm very excited about that, but it takes me away from my classes. So I'm going to be going back and forth between Chicago and Muncie, trying to do as much as I can on both. So it's going to be a lot of work.
Hey, Cinda, we have a caller from 702 area code. April D. Ferries presents. You're on the air and with actress, singer, William.
Hi, April. It's Vernon. And I know your show. I'm doing pretty good. I just called in to support on the show and say hello to your guest. And that was one of the first movies I remember. I believe it came out in 91, More Better Blues, that really started a whole slew of different movies for the, you know, for that decade. So I remember it vividly, even though it's about 22 years old, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
what
did you ask?
I'm sorry?
You said something about 22 years old.
It came out in 91, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I
was in middle school. But I'm the kind of person, I'm stuck to all of this stuff growing up. That I liked growing up, I tend to have formed that connection to it now. But
okay.
Do you have a question for Cinda Vernon?
No, I'm just in between, and just wanted to call support and say hello. I can't think of anything except that I do remember the movie vividly, and I remember it was like a start of a lot of other movies that came after. I think Wesley Snipes ended up doing New Jack City that same year, but I just know when that movie, mm-hmm. me and my friends, when we saw it, it just, and then Spike Lee did a few other ones after that. It just started a whole genre of different types of movies of that type of attitude that was being portrayed for the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to call and say hello and hello to your guest, and I'll just basically listen.
Thank you so much, Vernon.
Thank you.
All right, you have a blessed Friday.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. Cinda, we have another caller from 312.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air with
April
D. Ferries and actress Cinda Williams. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. This is Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. How are you doing?
Yes, I love your blog show. I listen regularly. I love the guests that you have on. I really like your guests that you had on last week. And I'm so happy to be able to speak with your guest today, Ms. Cinda Williams. I love all her movies.
Hi,
I also have a collection of her movies. I had a question. I love your acting. I was wondering, have you ever done any comedy, or do you like comedy? And I heard you say that you had a workshop going and you had something planned for the future. And most of your, I think your movies are like dramatic, very good movies. Have you ever done any comedy, and do you ever plan on doing any comedy?
Very good.
Well, you, comedies are a lot of fun. I've done some I did a movie called When Do We Eat that had a lot of comedy in it, and a movie called True Loved that had a lot of comedy in it. What's it called? With or Without You. There's quite a, I've done about four or five comedies. I am never, you know, Cedric the Entertainer kind of, you know, that kind of humor. My humor comes out of real life.
Right.
But because I am a good dramatic actress, I tend to get hired for, thank you, I tend to get hired for those kinds of jobs because not everybody can pull off the darkness that I can. But
right.
I love doing comedy because it's a lighter, excuse me, it's lighter and more fun, not so heavy. So I'm hoping to do more in the future.
Okay, that'll be great. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful Friday.
Okay, thank you.
That was a very good question. You know, I'm so used to seeing you in dramatic roles because you're so good at it. And I know Immediate Family, that was one of the last play. It was a play, right? Stage play, right?
Right.
Directed by Felicia Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
And what caught my attention is if you ever knocked heads at a family function.
Right, exactly.
Or, you know, somebody brought up something that was, you know, basically something you don't bring up at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what was that like? That was last year, right? You did that.
That was last summer, and that was a phenomenal experience.
Wow.
Coming back to Chicago. I'm from Chicago, but I moved before I really, really got entrenched in what I'm doing. And so I'd never really experienced Chicago talent. And,
mm-hmm.
oh, my gosh, there's some of the best actors in the world in Chicago. I mean, these people are on it. They're phenomenal. I learned, again, so much. Even all these years later, I felt like I was going to school again.
It's in New York, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's second to New York, isn't it, as far as just...
Well, it's second city, that's for sure, but I lived in New York, and I worked in New York, and the talent is phenomenal there, but there's something special about the talent here in Chicago. I have to admit it. It's just something special, and the hard work ethic, the ability to capture all different kinds of characters. There's just something special about the talent here.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Stovall, the guy who wrote the play, it was just, he's such a great writer. And then Felicia, with her comedy background, her sitcom background, and coming in, she's pretty young when it comes to directing. She's not done a whole lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, the woman knows what she's doing. And it was talking about comedy. I would call it a dramedy because there were dramatic moments, there were comedy moments, but it moved. It was like the quickest paced project I'd ever done. I mean, no breathing, no. You just, if people were laughing, you just kept on going. The show was only an hour and a half, which is unheard of for most plays. And it never failed after the show was over for people to say, oh, I wanted more. So it was a great experience. And I know there was talk of possible Broadway run. I really hope that they do that. I'm not sure if they would stay with the same cast or get a New York cast. I'm not sure how that would go or if I'd be invited. It doesn't matter. All that matters is some people see it because I think it is an important show that needs to be out there and seen and celebrated. I think it's great.
Wow, I hate I missed it. I would have loved to have seen it, you know.
Yeah, it was an amazing show. It was really, really, really good.
Now, you were talking about your upcoming projects before we run out of time. You were talking about your upcoming, the acting workshop, and you were saying you had another project that was going on.
Yes, I'm working on a web series that I've been writing on for a long time now, and it's gone through different changes. At one point it's a play, one woman show, blah, blah, blah. And I decided that I wanted to do it a web series version of the show because I thought I could reach a wider range of audience, give some content to a much ignored demographic, women 18 to it could go all the way up to 60, and dealing with subject matters that women talk about, and it's not an all black cast, but it's a heavily African American cast, and I'm just very excited about it. I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of different things, and music inspired by, book inspired by, blog series, all kind of stuff. So I'm working on finally getting that going. I think I've got enough contacts built here in Chicago, because Chicago is where I always wanted to shoot it. So I think I'm going to, the plan is to be in production by the spring. So that's what
I'm working on. I think I need to be in Chicago, Cinda.
Well, you certainly, there's a lot of work here, you know, if you like to act and stuff, you know, there is a lot of work here, and you're a free agent, really, in Chicago. You in New York and L.A., you have one agent, and that's it, and they do everything. Here, you can have multiple agents working for you. And there's a lot of work, especially theater. There's just a lot going on. There's movies going on here, lots of movies, lots of television series. I know my friend Michael Beach is doing a new series coming up soon. He's going to be shooting here in Chicago this fall. And things are happening, man. If you're just, you know, but like I said, because of my priorities, I can't really experience all I want to experience here because I have my baby. I got to take care of her and take her to basketball games and this, that, and the others and make sure she's doing what she's supposed to be doing at her age. And but there's a lot here. If you're an up-and-coming actor, it should be a thought.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it seems like it's not a place where, unlike some other places where you have to know, it's all about who you know or if you're in that circle. And
well, it helps. I think it helps, actually. Chicago is very political. It is very political. But if you're talented, that goes a long way here. Some other places, if you're political, but you can be inadequate as a performer, but you can get a job. Here, if you're talented, you can get in the door and you can become acquainted with those connections. So I think it's more about the talent than anything.
Wow, Cinda. Cinda, you have really inspired me. It has been a pleasure talking to you today.
I've enjoyed myself. Thank you so much for having me on my show, and you keep doing what you're doing. I'm very proud of your efforts, and you do your thing.
Thank you, because, you know, it's not easy always, and I'm sure you know that when you don't want to do what everybody else is doing because you have your own sort of style. You don't really fit doing what everybody else is doing. So what's your last advice for anyone listening?
Well, my number one thing, this is what I normally tell people, if you really, really, truly have a passion for anything at all, but especially acting and singing and those kind of arts and writing and anything in the entertainment field, you really have to understand first and foremost that not everything is yours. You cannot take the business personally if you if you get a job, you were supposed to have it. If you didn't, you weren't. And you have to believe in yourself and never give up.
Right.
You know, you just keep going, and you create your own projects. Create your own projects. Find like-minded people with a similar vision to yours, with the internet and with, you know, mobisodes and webisodes and all these cable channels and all this kind of stuff. There's a need for content. So if you can get yourself involved with a group of like-minded people that are all about moving forward and saying something and entertaining, then do it. Don't
it
wait
out
for
of
someone
state.
To come to you.
I wouldn't be in Michigan. But thank you so much. Thank you so much. You've inspired me to keep doing what I'm doing. Thank you very much. I want to close out with, you were mentioning talented, great musicians, Terrence Blanchard. He has a beautiful sound.
He's amazing.
He wasn't commercialized, but he has a great sound. I was going to close out with Mo Better Blues, but please, you must come back, Cindy. You must come back.
Well, I'm doing my best, baby. Have a great Friday yourself.
Thank you, and please keep me posted. All right, you have a blessed Friday, and you
thank
keep
you.
Doing the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Good night, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
Be blessed and follow your dreams, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to April Deep Aries Presents. And you have listened to April Deep Aries and special guest with Cinda Williams. And the songs played were songs from the movie Mo' Better Blues. Everybody be blessed, and let's promote positive energy in the air. Thank you.